5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another amazing Croc podcast for the most amazing people on earth. That would be our cancer survivor slash thrivers. Along with me on the other side of the computer glass, the master of disaster, the 100,000 download king, Angel Santana, Half Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, what do you think?
What's going on, Dr. E? You are sitting in at almost 7,500, my friend. You are up and coming, and you're only on your third season. So guess what? You are hitting bigger milestones than I did in my first three seasons. So what's up, my friend? I missed you.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. However, this is a moment to reflect. Everybody here at the Croc Podcast, from the board of directors to all of our beautiful survivors, really want to wish you nothing but congratulations and blessings and further growth for your amazing podcast. For our survivors out there who may not be aware, Have Faith, Let It Begin is Angel's baby. He does it every day, Monday through Friday. It's a podcast about inspiration, about spirituality, deepen your relationship with your creator and your fellow man and women and children out there, and just have a better life. And you will also get the extra added advantage of having a few laughs now and then, and you'll get to hear me on Mondays. I feel like I'm selling Ginzu knives. Hey, I feel like, beautiful. You know, if you go and listen to Angel, you'll be inspired, you'll be uplifted, you'll laugh, and you'll get peace of me. Anything else for $9.95, Angel?
That's it. But wait, there's more. You get the Croc Podcast, and it starts right now.
Exactly. Well, Angel, this is sort of like Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again. So about a week and a half ago, Angel and I started this podcast on TikTok, and we got about maybe 15 minutes into it, and we had some technical difficulties, lost the podcast, and then I went on vacation. So I apologize for missing you guys last year, both my Croc Nation as well as the Half Faith Nation. But you know what? We're going to buck up and we're going to do it all over again. And we're going to talk about the word toxicity. Angel, I want to tell you that toxicity is everywhere, and no one escapes having toxicity in their life. Some people are more, lucky than others. Some people are not. Some people have a little bit. Some people have a lot. And my inspiration for this podcast was, you know, over the last 6 months or so, I've been kind of in a rut, and I've been not really taking terribly good care of myself and doing the things I need to do and getting tired and come home and collapse and the whole thing. And I thought, what a great opportunity for us to talk about toxicity in many, many different forms, because we all have to deal with it. And it's just is what it is. And I think when we look at the different aspects or columns or categories of toxicity, all of us might have some of us might have some toxicity in our families, with our friends, with our thoughts, with our work, with our health. You know, we think about addictions and all that type of thing. And we think about basically, you know, what is it, toxicity? How can we get rid of it? Where did it come from? And I think the whole purpose, or my motivation and Angel's motivation, is always about trying to make your lives better. The survivors, you survivors and thrivers, have enough on your plate. We've been advocating for you now on going on 3 years, plus an additional 20 from the other aspects of the Croc, of our Croc organization. But we really believe, and we believe with our heart of hearts, that you guys have enough going on. You don't really deserve any toxicity, but you're human and you're going to have a little bit of toxicity. So let's see if we can lessen it for you. Every possible way that we can help you guys reduce this drain on your soul, we will do that, because, you know, you guys are worthy. I know you don't think so, but you are worthy, and you don't have the time, you don't have the energy to spend on this. So let's see how we can show you how to remove toxicity. So let's first start with going through the basic definition of toxicity. I think that would be a good place to start. So toxicity, according to our friend Merriam-Webster, is the quality or state or degree of being poisonous. That's a very strong word, Angel, and I think it really fits.
Oh, yeah.
Because people can be poisonous to us. Also, the second meaning, part B, is an extremely harsh, malicious, or harmful quality. So let's look at those words for a second, Angel. Poisonous, harsh, malicious, harmful. You get the point.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, sounds like my first relationship, but I get it.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to talk about is Einstein's famous quote about sanity and insanity. So this actually applies to me. So Einstein said insanity is basically doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And that certainly is me. So I think a lot of times in our survivorship, we talk about toxicity in different aspects of our life. And I think we think it's going to go away all by itself if we just ignore it. But guess what? It's not. You really can't think in your mind that magical thinking that, you know, it's just going to disappear. Or if you ignore it, it's not going to, it's just going to go to the wayside. So I think one of the things we're going to help you with today, Angel and myself, is to talk about toxicity as far as, you know, putting it in perspective of what's your wheelhouse. So a wheelhouse is, what is your strength? What is the part? What is that happy place, that safe place that you go to when the world's about to end? You know, what is your power spot? So in some people, for me personally, it's taking care of myself and eating healthy and doing some great exercise and feeling really good. That seems to be my sinoatrial node. That's that part in the heart that starts your heartbeat. Like, that is your spiritual side. That's what really makes you Superman. Last time in our truncated podcast, we talked about kryptonite. Angel's favorite superhero is Superman. So we could also look at toxicity metaphorically as, what is your kryptonite, what it is that brings you down, and what is Popeye's spinach, right? That's the other analogy or metaphor, spinach. What is your spinach and what is your kryptonite? So that's something we're going to talk about. And then the last thing we're going to talk about, what is your commitment to living a toxic-free life? What is your commitment to avoiding toxicity? So we used the analogy last time about, you know, a young child, hopefully, you know, doesn't get hurt, but puts his hand or her hand near a hot stove and feels the heat and said, you know, this is probably not a good idea to put my hand on this hot plate. So, you know what, I'm going to avoid that. That's quite easy to do, to avoid that toxicity. You know, and that's a path, you know, that's pretty easy, but the bad news is there is no easy path to a toxic free life. You have to put in the work, and anything that's worthwhile, Angel, you always have to put in the work.
Totally agree with that.
Yep. The good news though, Angel, I do have good news.
Oh,
the more you do it, yep, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, the way we do things, Angel. We go backwards before we go forwards. Let's talk a little bit about the birth of toxicity. And then we'll talk about the life cycle of toxicity, and we'll try to talk about the death of toxicity. So really, toxicity begins at birth. That's when it starts. So as tough as we might be physically, we have strong men and strong women and CrossFit athletes and all that kind of stuff. Mentally, we do have limitations. You know, we're only as good as our minds, and our minds are very easy to trick. So, you know, at birth and during those formative years, Angel, one of my hobbies is to really deeply investigate those formative years and seeing how, you know, myself and others have been put askew or put into the wrong path by, you know, having bad interactions with parents and things that sort of obstruct or maybe, you know, blunt our self-esteem, the development of our self-esteem, the development of our confidence, the expression of our maturity, our ability to balance and integrate information, so things aren't so black and white. There's those shades of gray, gives us our ability to have really good judgment and to read those red flags. And, you know, I think a lot of that puts into play some of the reasons why we have toxicity in our life, and how we haven't moved to get that toxicity out of our life. So that's the birth of toxicity. Would you agree with that?
I mean, I think you nailed it right on the head.
Yeah. And then the life cycle is unfortunate. It's like a parasite. And we mentioned that as well last time. It's a parasite that doesn't want to let go. It's like a virus. It gets into our body and just wants to stay in there. It wants drama. It wants screaming and yelling and reactivity. And it wants to weaken you. And it doesn't want to kill you, because then it would die. But it wants to bring you to your knees. And it's unfortunately something you're going to have to deal with. It's not going to disappear. If you want to live a better life in your survivorship, which again, for the 80th time, you will deserve, you're going to need to deal with this. And how to kill that vampire with that, or that werewolf with the silver bullet, or that werewolf with the silver stake, basically is the only way to do that. And there's the hard, harder, and hardest. Is number one is to go back in time and try to find out the origins of what made you accept that toxicity, or allow that toxicity in your life. And then harder would be identifying the toxicity now, and hardest would be to eliminate that toxicity. So let's go through the process. So let's go through all the different sort of, we put those bundles together, right? Those categories. We talk about family, we have friends, we have thoughts, we have work, and we have health. So we'll talk about family. I think everybody would agree that you could pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And sometimes, and again, in my case, it was parental, having some, you know, parents that had toxic behaviors or did things that caused toxicity in my life and moving forward. And of course, I'm not telling anyone to disown your parents. But we will tell you how you can make things a little better with your family. You might have siblings that you have disagreements with. I don't have brothers or sisters, but I certainly have had, you know, have cousins, and, you know, I haven't had all the best relationships with them at times, and that's on me as well. Getting back to the same expression, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. What if you pick your friends poorly? You know, what if you just, you know, pick a bunch of friends who are just really downers, are really kind of making your life not really fun. I know that I've done that. And I know my oldest daughter was in high school and, you know, could have sworn that these people were her friends, but they certainly weren't. She didn't really discover what a friend was until she went to college and got a bunch of awesome friends who I love. And I wish I could go back in time and take all those nasty girls and, you know, play some kind of a really cool trick on them, but, you know, that's probably not a very spiritual thing to do. But, you know, as a father, you would understand that, Angel.
You are forgiven.
Yeah, thank you. Toxic thoughts, you know, controlling our minds is not an easy thing. I know all of us have these thoughts of negativity and fear and all these types of things, and, you know, self-questioning, you know, how good you are, or your self-image, or, you know, your self-confidence. So that's another area of toxicity that I want you guys to start, you know, investigating. Work environments can be very toxic. I know, Angel, you went through a tough time, may still be going through a tough time, as I am. My partner of 20 years retired, trying to figure all that out, trying to figure out life, in a tough, stressful environment, you know, trying to limit that toxicity. And also with health, I mean, God bless our survivors out there, Angel, but I'm sure some of them are really struggling. They already have cancer on their plate. Then they have all the side effects of the treatments. Maybe you guys have been, put on pain medications and you just, you know, couldn't figure out how to stop or reduce it or let it not control you. Maybe in addition to your cancer, you might not be taking care of yourself. I remember for many, many years when I was younger, you know, since all the men in my life, all my family members died so young, I think I subconsciously thought you know, I was going to die anyway. So why bother taking care of myself? And I think a lot of survivors probably feel that way. It's like, hey, I have cancer. You know, I'm going to have that extra slice of pizza, or I'm not going to walk the Goshen Trail, or I'm just not going to worry, take my medicines or whatever. What's the difference? And you know, I think that's another venue, you know, for toxicity. And I, Angel, when I go through these categories, you must be checking off box one, box two, box three, box four, because there really is no, you know, there is no safety. You know, we all are there, man. We all got to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you would agree, Angel, that not only do our survivors have the right to protect their environment, I think they have no other choice. I think it's really imperative for us to encourage our survivors, you know, to try to protect their safe environment, that safe place, that happy place, and try to rid themselves of all this toxicity. And the bad news is that we don't want to create, you know, a sense in you guys to run out there and, you know, call that friend who's really brings you down and say, you know, Dr. Ian Angel told me never to talk to you again. Or, you know, like I said, a parent who might, you know, be overly critical or whatever, say, I disown you, mom or dad. And Dr. E and Angel said, I don't have to talk to you anymore. Or go out and quit your job and say, I quit my job because you guys are toxic. And Dr. E and Angel said, I don't have to work anymore. And they're going to send me a check every month, you know, from the proceeds of their podcast, which are zero, by the way. So if you're expecting that check, it's not coming anytime soon. But I do want to tell you that the way you're going to do this is very, very beautiful. It's going to be extraordinarily spiritual, and it's going to be very loving, you know, and you're going to have patience, and you're going to have empathy, and you're going to have love, when you're establishing these new boundaries, because the mistake that I've made again, over and over and over again, is that when I do stand up for myself, it's usually done in a very explosive and reactive way. And the person that I'm dealing with, like, looks at me like, who are you? This is like, because they know you for that person that has accepted this toxicity for as long as they can remember. You know, it's not fair to them that you're nuking something that they're not going to really understand what you're talking about. They're not, believe it or not, as obvious as the toxicity is, you know, you're going to be gaslighting them. That's a famous term, right? Where they're going to look at you and think that you're the problem. And you know what? You are. You're being toxic to toxicity, and two negatives don't make a positive. But if you are subtle and loving, and you don't gaslight them, and you let them get to know you as someone who will not tolerate that anymore. And if you do that, and you do it in the right way, you might actually change that interaction, whether it be with family or friends or work or whatever. You might be able to do it, you know, you might be able to retain those relationships and actually make them healthier, because maybe people really don't want, you know, to be toxic to you. Maybe you have something to do with that. Maybe you are part of that sort of toxic dyad where you guys are clashing in whatever relationship. So it's really important that you recognize that everyone knows the old you. They respond to the way you've asked or demanded to be known. And now you're changing the rules. And I think you have to give them sort of the, you know, the information that your rules have changed. You have to give them the new set of rules, and you have to do it again in a very subtle and loving and kind way. And then the last thing, Angel, it's a real nice short podcast today. We're going to talk about our commitment to eliminating toxicity. So, you know, you and me, Angel, we, you know, both have lived our entire life trying to lose weight, right? Or get stronger, or, you know, get healthier. And what is our commitment to that? We certainly talk a lot about it. We certainly have tried a million different times to do all sorts of different things. You know, but the fact of the matter is, you know, you're not going to see me or Angel in a Speedo anytime soon, right? So I see Angel shaking his head.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's what is your commitment to this? I mean, we say what we want, but we're not acting like what we want. I remember for the longest time, I always wanted to do a pull-up, right? So I said, so I bought all this equipment and I got this machine and, you know, it cost a ton of money and it was supposed to help get me stronger to be able to do a pull-up. And I, you know, that machine really was a very good coat hanger. It was really the most expensive coat hanger I've ever seen because I'd put my clothes on it and I'd hang shit on it. And it was wonderful for that, but it didn't do what I wanted it to do because I wasn't committed to it. You know, are you afraid to jettison someone who's really not your friend? Someone who really doesn't care about you? Is that bothering you? Are you committed to make the hard choice and, you know, just kind of protect your environment or determine who should be in your environment? And how about allowing your thoughts to capture you, your thoughts of fear that control us? And I was with Denise down the shore for our week down at the Jersey Shore, and we stopped at our favorite coffee shop and we ordered our pre-vacation breakfast where we're just waiting to check in. And we're eating our avocado toast and are having our coffee and bagel and all that kind of stuff. And I look on the wall and it says 99% of what I feared in my life never happened. So, you know, our thoughts are controlling us and all these fears and things. But how many of them actually happened? You know, probably not a lot. And at work, making those hard decisions, you know, putting those boundaries, even if people are in a position of being our bosses or our superiors, that doesn't give them the right to abuse us or to make our work environment toxic, you know. So my nurse practitioner a couple of weeks ago approached me with you know, something she thought could be done better to make her work environment better. And I was very open. And I said, you know what, you're right. Let's change things around. Let's make things better for you. You know, whether it be the office is too small or there's too many people in one office or whatever it happens to be, it might be something really silly, but whatever it can be to help our coworkers have a better work experience, I think that's our job to do that. And it's our job to also make that happen for ourselves, not wait for your boss to make that happen. And we have to really, Angel, and this goes for you and me first and foremost, we have to deeply evaluate our thoughts and our actions. You know, I think the question I'm going to ask you at the end of the podcast is, do your thoughts align with your actions? You know, do your desires? You know, if you were to be a Martian, and you were to come down and observe human behavior and read our thoughts and say, okay, you know, this is what I want in life. Are you doing the things that are required, you know, to achieve that life, to have that non-toxic life? And if our thoughts and actions align, then guess what? That's a really good indicator. That's like a psychological vital sign. We did a whole series on that. We are on the right path if our thoughts and our actions align. What if our thoughts and actions do not align? And do you really want to be on that path or not? And if you don't, that's okay. It's scary. The stuff we're talking about is scary stuff. If you want to have that occasional hot dog binge, if it was me, or sleeping in and not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning one day and, you know, just like, you know, not getting a head start on your day, or missing a workout, or going to dinner with someone who, you know, is important to you, but may not be the healthiest person for you to be around. That's okay. You know, it's at least you're trying and it's desirable to give it up. But if you're not ready or you want to do it in small steps, there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely fine. But it does require one thing. It requires honesty. You need to be honest with yourself because, again, insight creates the impulses to make those changes. And finally, to end, Angel, if you truly want to live a toxicity-free life and you're afraid to give up some behaviors or afraid to confront the 800-pound gorilla in the room, fear not, because you're almost there. If you know about it and you're just not ready, you will be ready one day. It just has to happen in God's time. It's not in our time. And remember, at the end of the day, slow, steady, imperfect progress is better than no progress or no insight. And that is what the human experience is all about. That's how it works. And that's how it's going to work for our survivors, thrivers. You guys deserve to have a toxicity-free life. Angel Santana always gets the last word.
That the one important thing about toxicity that I thought about throughout this whole process is, you know, starting from the beginning, yes, practice makes perfect. We all know that. One of the things that I keep hearing about this is the surroundings, and that is your environment. So even though the environment that you can be in can be out of your control, you want to try to keep it in your control. And how do you do that if you're not a person that has had enough unfortunate practice? And I mean that in a positive way, even though it's more negative, meaning you've been picked on or been in a situation so often, is trying to remember to keep yourself to be as a thermostat. Don't be a thermometer. Control that environment. Allow yourself the opportunity to really engage in what is happening so that you can make yourself better. With that being said, to answer your question, I don't think that I have completely put myself in the right position to do the things that I've wanted to do, looking from the outside in. But there are some pros and cons to that. There are some things that I'm better at than others. Case in point, not keeping commitment to the weight situation and letting that slide. But you know what? It's identifying your mistakes, learning from your mistakes, and then just getting back on top of that horse and riding onto the sunset. So, you know, really at the end of the day, it's just controlling your environment, knowing who you are and what brings the best out from you from the negative situations.
Excellent and well said, my brother. And I really appreciate that. And our survivors really appreciate that. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. It's always a pleasure and an honor to work with you. And again, congratulations on such a wonderful milestone. To the Croc Board of Directors, hey, guess what? The fall is upon us. It's after Labor Day. You know what that means? That means it's time for a board meeting. That means it's time for some amazing food and some amazing company and friendship and some fellowship. Can't wait to hear some feedback from you guys and make sure that Angel and I are doing what we need to do to help our survivor thrivers. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, for your belief in us. We adore you. We love you. We thank you. And of course, last but not least, oh, I forgot it. I forgot my friend Rod. Rod Freeman, I miss you, brother. It's time to get some work done together. Thanks for everything you do for us, for our survivor thrivers who have a little side gig or want to get a website up or want to write their personal journals and want to do it electronically. Rod Freeman would be your guy. Small Biz Up, check the website. We have a connection to his business, and he has done everything to help the Croc podcast grow as well as it has. I can't wait to meet our new intern, Angel. I think her name is Julie. Can't wait to meet her and see how we can help her help us. And you know how we end, Angel? We do our pep talk to our survivor thrivers. Listen, having cancer, being diagnosed with cancer, being treated for cancer, like that's a lot. You know, that's a lot. It is a terrible disease. It's a disease that has a stigma. It's a disease that has a lot of repercussions. The treatments are not easy. You know, the thought process of having to go through your survivorship, worrying about your kids, worrying about being alive tomorrow, worrying about being alive in a year or in a month, in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, watching your kids grow, watching them graduate, watching your grandkids. You know, these are all things that, you know, threaten your life every day. These are things that, you know, continue to pop up in your life. Even if you had perfection in all the other categories with your family and your friends and your work, it's your thoughts that sometimes can be toxic. I want to let you guys know that you are worthy and deserving of a toxicity-free life. You are deserving of a loving and special and bright future. You are deserving of having to just wake up every day without feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders because you guys are brave. You guys are courageous. You guys are loving. You guys are smart. You guys are funny. You guys are beautiful. You guys are perfect. And on behalf of everyone here at the Croc Podcast, we end this podcast as we end every podcast by wishing you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace. We'll talk to you next week. Angel, thanks for everything.